On this week's show, Cup delight for Erith Town as they win the Skeffel Challenge Cup. We hear from boss Adam Woodward.
It is for my family, and my family suffer the most with any non-league manager will tell you that. The family suffer the most. So, yeah, no, it was a nice moment to share it with the girls and my wife.
A disappointment in the final for Corinthian, but boss Michael Golding believes his side could still be on for a memorable season.
The challenges just get harder and harder at this level when you haven't got any money that you can go and entice players to pay for it. It's so, so hard.
And are they safe now? Welling United boss Rod Stringer is looking up the table rather than down it.
Well, I'd like to get enough points to try and creep in the playoffs, but that's not going to happen. Survival's 50 points, as everybody tells us, so we get to 50 points if we can, as soon as possible.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Kent Only Podcast, sponsored by Sandwich Town Youth FC. We've got a full Easter programme, and maybe some of the picture is starting to become a little clearer in some areas. And we've had our first relegation of the season too, but in many cases, it's still very much all to play for. I'm John Phipps, back in my unhappy place of London Bridge Station to record this week's show. Well, now is a man who has already Googled, how do you get to hashtag? It's Matt Gerrard, of course. How was your Easter, my friend?
Very good, mate. Yeah, started with a relegation party and ending with a late night party doing the pod this week. Yes, not too bad. I have to say, even if Dover have to go to hashtag to win the league, which could be a big if, I'm not going to hashtag United out of principle.
I don't know. It's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, you get on the TV, don't you? Because they're very big on the old socials, aren't they? Hashtag United.
Well, I'm not a 14-year-old boy.
Aren't you? That's good. I'd get into all sorts of trouble if I was speaking to a 14-year-old boy at this time of night on the phone.
Hashtag United. Yeah, it's just, we're going to get the first game of the season, you know, and it will really rock home. You know, there'll be some nice clubs we play. So, but hashtag you're not, well, I don't even, yeah, 21st century, isn't it? What have we got to?
Absolutely. That's the way of the world. But apart from that, the weekend's gone by quite quickly, you just told
yeah,
me.
Yeah, too quick, mate. Yeah, very busy, you know, we've had some nice days. It just goes too quick, though. You think, I left office on Thursday, you think, oh, great, not back till Tuesday. And it's nearly Tuesday with us now. So, that's the way of the world, isn't it?
This is the thing, like, mate, you should have a job like me. I never have bank holidays off, so it doesn't really make any sort of difference to me whether it's a bank holiday or not, because I was off Friday and Saturday, but I've worked Sunday, I've worked Monday. You know, I'm accustomed to not having bank holidays off. So, you know, maybe it's not all bad after all.
No. You've been watching plenty of football today, so yeah, good on you.
Absolutely, that is true. There's been lots going on, lots of games to watch and lots to talk about, obviously, including our teams as well. It's our 291st episode this week. This week, we've got to learn about a magazine called 291, which was an arts and literary magazine published between 1915 and 1916 in New York, named after an attempt to publicise Alfred Stieglitz's art gallery of the same name. It made 12 issues. And apparently, if you've got a set lying around, it would make you pretty wealthy. Just to clarify, 109 years on, 291 magazine still has a 3,248 word Wikipedia entry, despite having just 12 issues. We've done more than 20 times that number of shows, and I am 100% positive that in 2133, absolutely nobody will remember us. That's a cheerful thought for you, isn't it, Matt?
We haven't got our own Wikipedia. I suppose we could set up our own Wikipedia page, couldn't we?
You think we're famous enough?
No. Well, you never know, because I suppose you could really do every single episode and never the title and what we talked about, so we could look back. We'd have to listen back to all of them, and nobody wants to do that. Do you know anybody with his own Wikipedia page in your life? You know,
yeah, a few people. I know a few people. Yeah, you know,
do they edit around themselves?
I don't know actually. I know I'm probably famous, don't I? So you know, he's probably done enough to do his Wikipedia page. But yeah,
would you do your own Wikipedia? When can you have legitimately have your own Wikipedia page? Do you reckon?
I don't know. I remember back in the day, you could just try and have one and then just delete it and say it's nonsense. But I don't think this podcast is. We've got the longevity. Have we got the fame to be on it? If you want to set up a Wikipedia page for us, please do. Set it up, Kent Only Podcast. See if it lasts the week. I'm sure there's someone out there who'd love to.
If you do, put in Matthew Gerrard is a big fan of salt and vinegar crisps.
I mentioned a banana sandwich as well. We'd really appreciate that.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely. And let's do this week's show with two Power Purples in a scaffold who put their league campaign to the side for an afternoon on Friday for the Challenge Cup final. It was Irith Town who prevailed to win the cup, beating Corinthian 5-3 on penalties after a 1-1 draw after 90 minutes. It was a largely scrappy affair with Michael Hagan putting the hoops in front in the first half, but James Dyer levelled with a penalty 4 minutes from time to take it to a shootout. That wasn't without its drama as Nathan Bowman kept out Irith Town's third kick, only for it to be adjudged that he was off his line when he saved. And in the end, it was the Dockers who completed what they hope will be the first of a cup double. I spoke with both managers after the game, and we'll start with the victor, Irith Town's Adam Woodward.
It is. I thought it was a poor game, to be honest. I thought we looked very tired. That's no surprise, 3 games in 6 days. We've not had it easy. They've had a 4 weeks rest. I think our players look fatigued, tired, but look, fair play to them because their backs again were against the wall because Corinthians are a very good football side and we've come out with a penalty shootout win.
I just said to Michael, you know, there's a possibility UC teams might meet again, it might come to penalties, so it could be a potential psychological thing.
It is, yeah, but look, it was...
Still win trophies, I'm a testament to that.
Fair play, Ryan Shatt and Oliver, he's not really kicked a ball in 2 months. Yeah, no, look, what I will say is we've played them twice in the league, they beat us twice. And obviously when we went 1-0 down, I thought, oh, I'm not again. But fair play to the players. They've kept it. Listen, no goal kick. Neither goal kick has really had a chance to make the save today. I thought the goal was poor from our perspective. But look, we've held in. I don't know how we've done it, to be honest. We found that little bit extra and we've obviously won on pens.
You've got a lot of young players that have played a lot of games of football and they're all going to benefit from today's experience.
Yeah, they are. But it was tough today. I've leaving people out of the squad like Jim Truman, who's been fantastic for me for 3 or 4 years. Leaving people like Callum McGeegan, who's been exceptional since he's come in. But I felt today was only fair to bring Ryan Mahal back in. He's not really kicked the ball, like I said, in a couple of months, but he's our club captain. And I thought he was exceptional for 70 minutes that he played. I thought he was really good. And same with Jack Holland. He's been out in the wilderness. He's not really kicked the ball. He's been in Australia. He hasn't played since December. He played his first game the other night. And look, he came in and I thought he was brilliant at left back as well. But the heart and desire of the boys' show was fantastic. But it means nothing, and I said to him in there, if we don't go in and win at Rustall.
Hey, of course, you've got Rustall, you've got more league games. Have you got a target in mind of what you need to do to get into the playoffs?
Yeah, listen, we know within the change room, I won't share that out. But look, we've got a tough run and we've got a game Monday and then we've got a game Saturday. But look, I've argued and moaned and groaned about it. I still don't know why we're not playing last game of the season. And things haven't been moved around. Instead, we're playing Tuesday, Thursday. Today, I'll be honest, we've not had no rest. I think it's harsh that we've played Tuesday, but keep throwing it at us, we'll keep going.
So, do you think the fact you haven't got that last game, although it's obviously frustrating for you, but it does mean that you'll know, you could know on the Thursday that you've
done? Yeah, we could do. And people saying, what about you get a little bit of a rest? But when you're playing them playoffs, you don't want to rest. You want to play Saturday, and you don't want a longer rest. You want to keep playing with that momentum. But look, it's what's the cards we've been dealt. It is what it is.
Another cup final to come as well, the Kent Senior Trophy. That's a big day as well.
Yeah, it is. And do you know what? I've got... I was going to have a day off tomorrow, but I'll probably go and watch Croydon. And I'm sorry, old woman, I love that. But no, she's been... I must say, my wife's been absolutely brilliant. We've got 2 under-2s and she doesn't stop me doing anything when it comes to football. And she's here today. And like I said, full credit to her because she puts up with a lot of...
I was going to say, actually, lovely moment with you walking over, and as soon as you got your medal, you went over and gave it to your little girl. It
yeah,
must be a great moment.
Yeah,
for you.
It is, because she misses her dad. She doesn't see her dad Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. He's out at football, so no, it's it is for my family. And like I said, my family suffer the most with any non-league manager will tell you that the family suffer the most. So, yeah, no, it was a nice moment to share it with the girls and my wife.
And we're sitting here, it's Good Friday, we're 6 weeks away from the end of the season. This could be the best 6 weeks in Irith Town's history, couldn't it?
Could be. Listen, that's great for the club, great little moment. So, no, we just, like I said, we could have a great 6 weeks and we've got one chalked off, another one to chalk off, and then hopefully a playoff win would be a fantastic season.
It didn't go to time, John.
It did not. It was 90 minutes... and then straight to penalties. We were a bit confused over whether that was actually going to be the case or not. But luckily, it was the case. It went straight to pens. The annoying thing was, though, they also did the whole coin toss, and all the fans were down the end where I was, and they decided to take them down the far end. And it was like, you know, there's a stand here, the clubhouse is here. Take the penalties down here, won't you, lads? But yeah, it was one of those. As I say there, Adam Woodward, nice, pleased for him to win the cup. But he did say it didn't matter if they didn't follow up with a win on Monday in the league. They did win on Monday and set them up for what could be a very exciting few weeks for Irith Town, Matt.
Yeah, look at the league table. I think another cup final. I think they could probably say they're going to be in the playoffs as well. So a really exciting end to the season for them. Bit of silverware. He seemed delighted to do that, to pick up some silverware. Thanks to... I think it's a good season. We didn't expect them to be one of the sides up there, but a good result there. Was it, again, two... You said he's... They look tired, his team. Did you think he mentioned that in his interview? It wasn't a good game. Conditions weren't great by the sounds of it.
It was very windy, which did really affect the quality of the game. It wasn't good for the Golding ball, shall we say, Matt, which is very similar to Gerard ball, if you're familiar with it.
Good ball.
I mean, there were a couple of times where a throw-in was thrown in and went straight back out of play. You know, that sort of... I don't know if the players seem tired, but what I will say is... Both of those teams have got bigger fish to fry. You know, if I think it had been between the teams in 12th and 14th, it probably would have been a more intense cup final. But I think the fact that it's the teams who are, third and fifth in the table, who have both got the playoffs to aim for, you know, and I think it's a great idea that they brought it forward to make sure that the playoffs is the main focus at the end of the season, because it's normally on that bank holiday at the end of May, the final, and they brought it forward. But the knock-on effect of that was that it didn't quite have that massive cup final feel. And I was saying to some people afterwards, you know, Hollandsman Blair is a great venue, but, you know, the club themselves didn't make anything out of it because they don't own the venue. And it didn't really feel like a cup final. There was no tannoy, no PA. So there was no congratulations to the winners, Erith Town. You know, there was, in a way, it felt a little bit flat, if that makes sense. It was a cup final, but it didn't necessarily feel like a cup final. And I know it's not the most important competition. And I know that, you know, from the other town point of view, they'd much rather get their bits on the Kent Senior Cup as well in a couple of weeks' time. But I just feel that, you know, it could have been a bit more of a spectacle. I mean, there's 450 people there on Good Friday enjoying themselves, but I just felt it lacked a bit of razzmatazz. Does that make sense?
Yeah, normally, why was it at Hollands and Blair? Normally, these are... Mainstay and places like that, aren't they, these cup finals?
Well, this is the Skeppel Challenge Cup, so it's the Kent Senior Trophy you'll expect to see at the Gallagher. And I think they just picked Hons and Blair. It's one of their member clubs, quite a central location, although, you know, not really handy for either of those teams, to be brutally honest. And obviously, you know, it's a good pitch, a 3G pitch. From the very outset, I was told it's likely to be on a 3G surface. And you know, I think it's not a bad little venue, actually. But, you know, I just think... As I say, it just lacked a little bit of spark. But once that's been said, as I said to Adam, and as you'll hear, I'll say to Michael Golding as well after when we hear from him in a moment, you know, that could be something that will play on the minds of both of those teams going forward.
I think bigger fish to fry. And again, Erith maybe have got an Indian sign of them at the moment. I think they knew enough. Well, they won't be playing each other in the playoffs, but it could come to that as well. So... Again, you mentioned about this competition. It's a shame that, you know, has it got the importance now that the playoffs are involved in this division, that sides would probably, they've taken it seriously, but it's not the biggest, not the greatest competition in the world. The playoffs have taken over from it, would you say? Is there still scope for this, the competition?
Well, I think there is still a place for it, but I don't know. I don't know if a two-legged semi-final is the one to be played in the run-in. And as I say, the difficulty was, if it had been, and I'm just plucking teams out that are in a different place in the league table, so I mean, no disrespect to anyone, but if it had been Kennington against Stansfeld, I think it would have been a more intense game because, you know, that they've got a lot more riding on it and you know, that would have been the highlight of their season. And you know, with all due respect to the Skeppel Challenge Cup, winning it is hopefully not going to be the highlight of Erith Town season. And if they had won it, it wouldn't hopefully be the highlight of Corinthians season.
Right, yeah. Well, again, it's a cup competition. Maybe you just need to, maybe a little bit, as you say, market it a little bit better to make it feel a competition that, you know, did it not feel that when they won the cup, it was just, there's the cup, get on with it sort of thing?
Kind of, yeah. It needed, you know, here come your runners up, Corinthians, and here come your winners, Erith Town. You know, it needed a bit of a G up because they had, at the end of the day, they won a cup competition. And it was just kind of, oh, come forward, take hands, and there's the trophy. You know, and I feel like that was kind of missing. You know, you need that little bit of razzmatazz and a little bit of spark to keep it going.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Also, you mentioned there, are they the unlucky side that won't play the final game of the season then?
Absolutely, yeah. He did mention that, and he's annoyed by that, and I can understand his frustration. You know, and if you're in form, you want that momentum. But then on the flip side of that, you know, he might have less stress because he might be done. They might know before that final day of the season, he might be like, right, well, we've done it. We've got enough points. We're there. And you know, he said he didn't want to rest or anything. But I think if you can put your feet up 3 days before the playoff semi-final, you get the chance. Because you look at it, if they were guaranteed fifth place, it'd look to rest some players, I'm sure.
Yeah, it might be a blessing in disguise when it comes to it as well. So, I suppose, was every winner, John? There's got to be a loser.
Absolutely. And that loser, of course, was Corinthian and their manager, Michael Golding, friend of the show, who I also spoke to after the game.
Nah, not a great feeling, to be honest, mate. It was a pretty poor game of football, all in. Game of very few chances, very, very windy. I thought it was one of those, if it's a league game, a draw is probably a fair result in terms of a cup final. I thought we probably had just about a better chance. I don't think Nathan's had to do loads in goal. I think on the balance of play, we're absolutely bitterly disappointed. Fair play to Erith.
The game itself, obviously, you know, both sides pretty strong, you know, and I suppose for you, obviously, haven't got the depth that maybe they've got. But you've gone with your best team and ultimately you've more than matched them, I suppose.
Yeah, I think when you look at the two league games we played against each other, 4-3, we were 3-0 down with 20 minutes ago. It's just a crazy game of football, and then we beat them 2-1 at home, and I thought we were good that day. So it was never going to be a high scoring, or there was never going to be loads between the sides today. It's always close. They're a good side, and obviously as an under-23s that they put out today, they're not bad at all. We haven't got loads and loads. We've obviously got a couple that are cup tied. We've got a couple missing through injury today. We put out what we thought was going to be good enough. On another day, another 4 or 5 minutes, we might have held on and it might have been slightly different.
I think you certainly had the better of the chances in the second half, and you almost won it right near the end with what would have been the most ridiculous goals in a cup final ever.
Yeah, I know. He scored one like that last week at Holmesdale. He's been unbelievable, Jamie. I thought he started a bit shaky today. Taylor up front for Erith's a good player. He's a handful. But I thought Jamie grew into the game. I thought he was outstanding as the game went on, and the season that he's having and how important he's been for us, it wouldn't have surprised me to see that drop in.
I was going to say, actually, he is such a key man for you, isn't he? Obviously, people know the Billings name is so associated with the football club, but he is in your team. He's your captain, completely on merit.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, Jamie's had periods of time since I've been manager where he's not been in the side on performance levels, but certainly this year he stepped up to the plate. He's become captain for the first time. It's his club, but he's become captain this year, and he's been different level for us. Like I say, and people like that, you're just gutted for, like, all the people behind the scenes, and it's just a crap way to lose it.
The penalties, second time I've seen Nathan save a penalty this season, and then for his celebrations to be cut short by the flag, it must be so frustrating for him and yourself.
Yeah, obviously he got close to the first two. I thought he could have, maybe should have done better. If you're being ultra critical, you never expect to keep it to save a pen, but the first two have gone underneath him or through his hands, and then you save the third one and you think it's just tipping in our balance, but obviously the line is there to do a job, and ultimately he, that's what he's there for. So he's got a good record, Nathan. The last two penalties for Erith were good, good win, and Miles put them away, and they're, you don't save those penalties. But yeah, again, you're just hoping that something goes your way, and obviously it didn't for us today.
I suppose there is a possibility you could face Erith again in the playoffs. It could come to penalties again if you play them. So would that maybe give them a psychological edge, or are you and your team strong enough that they wouldn't make a difference?
Yeah, I think whatever happens today, if we win, we turn around and say, yeah, we've got the psychological advantage. We've won three times against them. They're obviously celebrating and really enjoying themselves today. They've got banners printed and stuff like that for a couple that they openly didn't care about. So I think motivation levels for our boys, if we get to play them again in the playoffs, both teams have still got a hell of a lot to do to get in there. I think the motivation will be there to try and turn this around.
What do you need to do to get in the playoffs? Because you've been there or thereabouts all season, despite your pre-season expectations. You're still third in the table. I know you need a few more points to be sure. Have you got a target in mind?
It's difficult. It changes all the time. I think because of the fact that there's so many teams still involved in it, one week you're looking at maybe high 70s, early 80s. Deal probably only need 82, 83 points to win it. So I think if you're then going, right, if they need that to win it, then you probably don't need high 70s to get in the playoffs. But I think the difference between getting in the playoffs and having a home draw in the playoffs is probably where I can't quite work out where we need to be. So I think we've got 6 games left, 2 at home. We've got some tough games to come. If we can win, if you go at 2 points per game, if you put 12 points on the board, I think that puts us on 82. I don't think we I don't think we would be in an away playoff game if we got 2 points per game. I think if we won a couple, you're probably, with what's going on below you, everyone's got to play against each other. I think Punjab are key at the moment. I think they've got to play everyone at the top. So it's just a constantly changing, it's a constantly evolving beast. But I suppose that's why people want it playoffs, because it's made it exciting. And I texted the other day about the quality and the scaffold might not be there, but the vibes and the chaos is absolutely there.
How important is being at home in the playoffs to you?
I think it is for us. I think we know we play our pitch quite well. I think it's a big pitch. We use the width quite well. We use how wide it, how big the pitch is. I think what you don't want to do is end up going away to a Faversham or an Erith Town. I think that's going to be key this year, is ultimately who you play against, and if you can get in that second or third place. I think that's going to be a big difference.
And obviously it looks like Deal are going to win the title from here. It's been an amazing season, hasn't it? All across the scaffold. I know you say the quality's not necessarily been there, but it has been a really exciting season. But Deal have shown a bit of quality, haven't they?
Yeah, I think you look at them, they're going at just under 2.5 points per game, which is ridiculous across the course of the season. I think Glebe went down there last week thinking they've still got a chance and they're still a title run. There's not been a title race for a long period of time. The only hope that we all had that was Deal would carry on in the Vars and maybe lose a bit of focus and they'd be playing Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, but realistically, if you're going at 2.5 points per game, you 100% deserve to win the league. And fair play to Steve, he's been managing a couple of years now. He's got a massive budget to go and win the league. And fair play, like, if that's how teams want to do it, then that's on them. I think, like I say, you've got the playoffs. You've got 10 teams challenging for the playoffs. You've got four or five teams still scrapping it out at the bottom. And there's not many teams that haven't got anything to play for. And I suppose if you're a league or if you're involved in football, what we set out at the start of the season to do is be involved in something at the end of the season. Can you go into April still having something to play for? And that's always our objective. And at the moment we have, obviously today we fell short, but we'll use that hopefully as a motivation over the next six games to go and get ourselves in the playoffs.
If everything were to come your way in the next 6 weeks or so, would getting promoted with this team be a better achievement than winning the league when you did it?
Yeah, I think so. I think where we started, I know we joke about playing things down, but we genuinely had no idea what we were going to be this year, and we went on a bit of a run similar to what we did a few years ago. We built up a bit of momentum. We've kind of lost a little bit of momentum over the last 5-6 weeks. I think you've seen today, like, that the average age of the squad is just over 20 years old. Like, we've got some good young kids coming through. Young Michael that comes on. We've got a lad, Corey, that sat on the bench today that's going to be an unbelievable footballer. But the challenges just get harder and harder at this level. With when you haven't got any money that you can go and entice players to play for you, it's so, so hard. So I think from where the suffering that we had last year and how hard that was as a season to take when you're used to winning games of football and you go and lose all the time, that's tough. So then to come into this season and the conversations, what I didn't want to do was come back down to the scaffold and be challenging at the bottom or trying to fight to stay up, because that's not what I want to do. I've said before, like, we had long, hard conversations about whether it was the right thing, whether we were the right people, whether we had the right player pool. But ultimately, we've got a very, very good management team around me that are, honestly, they're unbelievable. And they've managed. Alfie's done some unbelievable recruitment, and he's worked incredibly hard. And Paul's just an absolute godsend. Pete, Amy's away on holiday, and Megan, our old physio, stepped in to say, like, Jake, like, the whole thing's excellent behind the scenes. And I think that's why we stuck at it. And like I say, we genuinely didn't know what we were going to be this year. We've got some good players. Jamie's a good player. Sam Buick scored goals at this level. Charlie will score goals. Oscar's outstanding. But when you come off, like I say, when you come off the back of last year, you don't know what you're going to be. So the fact that we are where we are, 70 points after 34 games, like, if you'd said that back to me in July, I wouldn't have believed you, first of all. But yeah, we'll take that. And I think, like I say, I think longest answer ever, I think this will be a much bigger achievement than what we did previously.
They came from behind to beat Stansfield on Monday, and that result has got them pretty much on the brink of being guaranteed a place in the playoffs. And as he says there, Matt, to follow that through and get promoted would be an unbelievable achievement for Corinthian, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it has been a really good season, especially after last season, and not anybody maybe expected them to do well. He built a squad up again. And if they do get promoted, which is going to be a big if, it gives them maybe a base to work if they in the higher division next year, which he knows will be difficult. He didn't sound too disappointed he lost. again, bigger fish to fry. So if they say, as you said before, if they're 12th in the league and they've lost the cup and that's the end of their season, you know, you feel a little bit down. But now, games coming thick and fast. Playoffs are the crux of the matter. At the moment, they could be facing, you know, Faversham in that, which would be a really interesting tie if they get through. Or it could be Erith themselves if they get the league points. So it'd be interesting to see where that game. They've got to win as many games as they can to the end of the season and see where they finish. So I think that, again, they've got to a cup final. They get it to the playoffs. If you probably offered that at the start of the season, he'd have probably taken it, wouldn't he?
Oh, he'd have snapped your hand off, you know, because again, it is a new look side. You know, the only players that were involved in their great team that got promoted what, 3 years ago now are Jamie Billings, who we talked about at length there, and I'll come back to him in a second, and Oscar Housego. Everyone else is new to this club. Some of them have been there before, but you know, it's not the team that it was 3 years ago that was promoted after being on the two season points per game. And you know, to rebuild like that after a real struggle last season is an absolute credit to Michael and the work that he and his team have done there, Paul Sawyer and Alfie as well, behind the scenes, you know, really working hard on getting everything done. And Jamie Billings, captain of the club there, he's gone past 400 appearances for the club this season as well. You know, obviously the name Billings is synonymous with the club, but Michael Gordon would not pick him just because of his name. He picks him because he deserves to be in the team. And therefore, therefore he has done really well to be in that team. And do you know what? Actually, I think having watched him this season, when I've seen Quinton before, I think he's actually playing the best football he's ever played.
Yeah, well, again, 400 appearances. Again, Billings, as you mentioned, the formation of the club. Housego, I've seen a couple of times as well. And he was at Sheppey earlier in the season, come back there. Good little player. Yeah, Billings. Well, I've only been through the team once. Big, strong centre-half, leader of the team. And I think you don't see many players in the non-league playing 400 games for a club. And again, that is his club. And I'm sure he's had opportunities to move elsewhere. But staying at his club that his family built up must be a proud moment for him. And I'm sure he's very proud to have played 400 games for the club. And he'll be absolutely desperate to try and get him into the playoffs and go that one step further later in the season.
Absolutely. Deal Town, meanwhile, recorded back-to-back wins over Easton. They now need just 10 points from their last 8 games to win the title. They're currently 5 points clear of Glebe with 5 games in hand. Corinthian, Faversham and Erith, the only other teams now able to catch Steve King's Hoops. They are guaranteed a playoff spot now, but I get the feeling that they're not going to need it. The full results from the weekend. On Saturday, Deal beat Sutton Athletic 3-1. Punjab 2-0 victors at Honesdale. 2-2 between Lidtown and Tunbridge Wells. VCD won 4-1 at Stansfield. Snodland and Lordswood also drew 2-2 and Whitstable beat Rustall 3-1. Then on Monday, it was Corinthian 2, Stansfield 1. Homesdale 2-0 winners at Fisher. No score between Glebe and Punjab United. Stephen Payne got both goals as Faversham came from behind to win 2-1 at Hollands and Blair. Lid beat Kennington 2-1. Erith Town 2-0 winners at Rustall. Beersted won 2-0 at Snodland. It was 1-1 between BCD Athletic and Southern Athletic. Trevor McCready grabbed a hat-trick to make it 5 in 3 days as Tunbridge Wells won 6-2 at Wellingtown. And the champions-elect, yep, I've said it now, won 3-2 at Whitstable. And last gasp winner from Ashley Miller. Deal in action on Wednesday night as they take on Lordswood. And then on Saturday, it's Beersted against Stansfield, Erith Town against VCD, Faversham Town against Corinthian, Homesdale against Hollands and Blair, Kennington against Wellingtown, Lordswood against Fisher, Lid against Rustall, Punjab United against Snodland Town, Tunbridge Wells against Deal Town, Whitstable Town against Sutton Athletic. On a Tuesday, it's Lordswood against Deal, Stansfield against Erith Town, Tunbridge Wells against Sutton Athletic. Before on Wednesday, Lidtown take on Punjab United. And it's Rustall against Corinthian. I think, Matt, I've just called them the champions elect. It's going to take some losing from here for Deal Town, isn't it?
I don't think King will be able to look at himself in the mirror if they blow it from here. Yeah, fantastic achievement. You mean 10 points from 8 games. I think very shortly Deal Town will be classed as a Isthmian League club, and fantastic achievement. Great they're getting, and hard work has paid off for them. And again, it might be difficult next season for them, but how excitement going to all these new places and Deal Town getting a level that they haven't reached before. So, you know, when it happens, we'll praise them. But I think an unbelievable achievement.
Unless we forget,
to know what their odds were at the start of the season, because, you know, we were both put our mortgage on that Faversham were going to win it, but Deal have come through. So, and that must mean a lot to the people of Deal to do that.
Yeah, and of course, they will be in the same league, in the same competition, and just one division below their neighbours. from just up the road, won't they, Matthew? Into the first division now, where the gap to the top is down to 6 points with four games to play. The Staples Monarchs 9 points behind the Isaiah Stewart Whiteley with six still to go. At second place, Rochester beat the leaders on Saturday and then followed it up with a 7-2 win on Monday, while Whiteley held 2-2 at Croydon. Still, you'd have to say the Surrey side are favourites, but stranger things have happened. On Saturday, it was Canterbury 4, Greenways 1. Mo Cham grabbing a hat-trick in that one. FC Armstrong 2-2 Vetri 1-1. Lartford and Lehigh saw Staples 3-1. 3-1 to Rochester. It was 3-2 to Rochester in the clash of the top two. And Croydon won 3-0 at SC Thamesmead. And then on Monday, as well as the draw for Whiteley, Caper Sports won 3-0 at Bramsham Strikeforce. Lartford went down 3-1 at home to Lewisham Borough. Rochester beat Meridian BP 7-2. And SC Thamesmead 2-1 winners at Tooting Beck. Forest Hill and FC Armstrong play on Wednesday. On Saturday, it's Canterbury City against Forest Hill Park. FC Armstrong against Bridham Oaks. Greenways against Croydon. Lewisham Borough against Sporting Club Thamesmead. Meridian BP against Larkfield and New High. Rochester United against Staples Monarchs. Tooting Beck against Faversham Strikeforce. And then on Wednesday, FC Armstrong against Lewisham Borough. Forest Hill Park against Larkfield and New High. Sporting Club Thamesmead against Bridham Oaks. And Staples Monarchs against K-Sports. Let's go up then to the National League South, where the inevitable was confirmed on Good Friday. Dover were relegated back to the Isthmian League after 15 years in the National League. But having clearly listened to some of my thoughts last week about winning some games to give them something to take into next season, the Whites then beat second place Chelmsford 1-0 on Easter Monday. Matt, it's done now. It's not really a surprise, but was there a sense of clarity for you on Friday?
Yeah, again, it's tiny margins again, because I think Dover defensively are pretty solid, but they had probably the best two chances against Welling. If you can't take easy chances with the players they've got, again, they haven't got any strikers, and Welling, who were very well organised, very well drilled, resilient on Ron Strigger, got the goal, and then you just felt, well, Dover aren't going to score any goals. So, yeah, I think it's, again, things have got to happen off the pitch, really. As I mentioned, Jim Parmenter's got to change maybe his ways and try and get more people back into it. It'll be interesting how much he's going to charge next season and things like that, and how he can get the fans back who may have gone to watch Deal and things like that. I know people want to watch their side win, but try and make Crabble a better place to come to. And hopefully this is the lowest of the low, that they're not going to go any further than this. And this is the low point. And now the bottom of the curve is going to hit up. And we're not expecting David to win the league next season by any means, but just win a few games and put some smiles on people's faces. So hopefully that will happen. Okay, will Jake Lowell be in charge? I'm hoping that he will, because I think he's got the heart of the club in the right place, which I think is what we need at the minute. So we'll go from there. But it is what it is. It doesn't hurt, John, because you've seen it coming for a while. So and you're used to them losing, and that's the losing mentality has got to stop somewhere.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, you've had what, two relegations in three seasons now, and before
three and three, because we should have. So lucky the back end of last season.
Yeah. But also, you know, before you went from the top of the National League all the way down to the Isthmian South East in quite a short space of time.
Yeah.
So you've been through this before, and you really don't need to do that. And I think, you know, if I was a Dover fan, all I'd want from next season is to have some enjoyable football, win more games than we lose, and not worry about where we finish the league. If you finish 10th, take it as a good season, have a cup run. That's all the club needs. You know, yeah, it would be great to get promoted again. Of course it would. But I think you've got to walk before you can run after three absolutely dreadful years.
Yeah, I think it's try and get as well a bit of link between the supporters and the players as well, because if they're constantly, players won't stay. And again, that's going to happen, that a lot of the squad will go, apart from the youngsters. You know, and I'm hearing that some of the youngsters might not want to stay because they think they should stay at this level. But what I will say is, you know, everybody said all the youngsters will come in. Oh, yeah, they'll do a good job. But on their CV is two relegations in 3 years and finished fourth and bottom in the other season. So they may think they're better. They may think they can get a job at other levels. But I've seen a lot of football at this level, and you've got to prove yourself a little bit more if you think you could be a National League player. And I don't think some of them are National League player, and maybe go back to the Isthmian League, learn your trade a little bit more again, and go on from there. So I think Dover need a bit of stability if they can keep some of the squad players and go from there. But yeah, it doesn't really hurt, John, because it's the inevitable happening. So and it's typical that they won today when I wasn't there again. So maybe I should stay away more.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about Dover in the coming weeks. I've got plenty of questions, but it's nearly 11 o'clock and we're at London Bridge train station. So we'll do them another week. Dover's demise was confirmed with a 1-0 loss at Welling side, who really turned things around under new boss Rod Stringer. They followed up that win with a creditable point at Maidstone on Monday. And after the game at Parkview Road on Friday, Matt spoke to the Wings boss Rod Stringer.
We wasn't as good as I've seen us this season, certainly not as fluent, which is a bit of a shame because we had a great crowd in here today and it'd been nice to give them a little bit more exciting football. But whether it's a bit of nerves or not, I don't know. We just wasn't as good as we can be. But listen, the most important thing was we could have played well today and then, you know, lost the game. And everybody said, well, performances come second best, and that's what they do. So the points are the most important thing for us. And, you know, I'm grateful that the boys stayed with it, kept a clean sheet, and, you know, we managed to turn it into 3 points, which now makes us 7 clear.
Gold off the training ground?
Yeah, it was. And I just said there, like, Kev's been working on that, but we scored at Chippenham for it, and then we had 4 or 5 corners today, and no one knew any runs. So, you know, that's game management. The players have got to understand that. But, you know, eventually we made a run and got round the back and you know, we scored at Chippenham with it and we scored again today. So, you know, both goals were important for us. But the one today was the one that got us the 3 points. And, you know, I suppose this time of year you just take wins as you can.
You mentioned 7 points clear. Did your game plan change when Sonny Fish, who's been brilliant for you, was recalled overnight?
Well, the game changed. The plan changed when, obviously, yeah, we never.
Any inkling of this? Who's going?
No, we had no notice. We never knew till pretty much late Wednesday afternoon that there was some movement, and then obviously the deadline was the Thursday at 5 o'clock. So that made things really, really difficult. We tried to see if we can move and bring someone else in, and then, you know, Roscoe's been training. We signed Jack Munns, so we just looked at it. We've got one or two out of the squad at the minute as well. And we just said, do we really need to sort of, you know, bring someone in that we don't really know enough about? Or do we work within? And we decided to work within. And, you know, I think Roscoe come off the bench today and give us something. Just try to hold it up for us and, you know, just try to get us out when he could. So I've got to be honest and truthful. It's, you know, on reflection, it's hopefully going to be the right decision. But yeah, it was a bit panic stations when Fishy got called back. And as I said in my last interview, you know, we wish him well. He'd done great for us. He's been a big part of us being where we are in the league. And, you know, we hope he does well at Gateshead and we'll just kick on the rest of the season.
You mentioned your 7 points clear. Are you confident that's enough? Everybody below you lost today. So as Good Fridays go, it's a good one.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, we go to Maidstone. We've got a very tough game on Monday now. We've got to get some sort of, you know, the boys have got to have good recovery and get some fresh legs out there maybe. But, yeah, it's a nice breather. But we're still going to be going to try and win games and collect points because, you know, we want to finish as high as we can. And mathematically, it's still, you know, we're still in a relegation battle. So as much as we've got the points on the board now and, you know, that's a lot healthier than when we first come here.
Have you got a points target? You know, you think it's going to be enough?
Well, I'd like to get enough points to try and creep in the playoffs, but that's that's not going to happen. Survival's 50 points, as everybody tells us. So we get to 50 points if we can, as soon as possible. And then if we can, you know, just try and put some extra points on top of the ball and finish in a more respectable position, then obviously we will try and do that. So, as I say, we are pretty much on the way to being safe. But if I tell my players that, you know, we are safe, then maybe they snooze and lose and all of a sudden one or two results could go against us and we're sort of getting sucked back in. So let's keep looking forward, keep trying to put the 3 points on the board, get the season out of the way and then we can reassess and see where we all go from there.
I remember interviewing you when you first joined. You said you'd come over from Essex, hadn't been in Kent before. You enjoying it this side of the tunnel, aren't you?
Yeah. You know, to be fair to the supporters and the club, they've, you know, made me welcome. I know there's a few different opinions when I come in, but I'm only here to win football matches. And even today, we wasn't great, but we got over the line. But I think they're starting to gel with us and me and Kevin. And as I say, Al has been brilliant since day one. and I can't thank him and Lisa enough for all the hard work that they've helped us and backed us in every way, shape and form. So, you know, I just want to, you know, get this season out of the way and give the supporters something to be happy to go away on their holidays with. And, you know, we'll try and build a team for you guys next year to, or mainly the supporters, sorry, to see if we can have a slightly different season. So, you know, we don't want to be doing this every year. We want to try and sort of be more competitive and try and sort of see if we can flip this round and have a look at the other end of the table.
Even though they've lost their main goal threat, Matt, the job that he has done there is absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, he said there were people that doubted the decision when he came in. I think we both felt it was harsh on Danny Blore for him to be let go as he was. But the proof is in the pudding, isn't it? Rod Stringer has done a fantastic job. And the fat lady's clearing her throat, isn't she?
Yeah, I think they probably need one more win to be right. Yeah, he's done a really good job. I think he's been backed by the chairman, and you have to fair play to the Welling chairman. You know, all the problems they've had, and maybe moving to Tunbridge and up in there, right? And the feeling was, if they went to Tunbridge, who's going to go and watch them if they're playing Isthmian League football? That has now gone out the window. He's been backed, Rod Stringer. He knows this level. He knows the Conference North. Again, I think Kevin Watson is a major boost to them as well as a coach. And I can see Welling going one way. If they're backed in the transfer market and Rod Stringer can bring players he wants, I think they can do well next season as well. He's got good contacts in the loan market. I thought they were probably dead and buried at some point, but they've really turned it around. Probably the form side and the bottom half of the table. He's only lost two games out of 13 he's got in the league. Phenomenal achievement. So, and again, he's a character, Rod Stringer. You know, a bit of a larger than life character, but seems to me, if you're in that dressing room and you don't do a job for him, he would tell you. So I think he's one of those managers that would run through brick walls for. And I think he's a good fit for Welling. A fair play to Welling, a good result against Maidstone today. Fair play. Welling always supported a well from home. I think they had 200 odd fans there, and they only get average about 500 at home. So the hardcore Welling fans absolutely delighted with Rod Stringer, and they should be. So he's a character, Rod. I quite like him as well. So he just feels that him and Welling are a good fit.
I've obviously not seen Welling this season. My seemingly long-winded quest to never meet Nigel continues. But what's the difference between Danny Blore's Welling and Rod Stringer's Welling?
This is look a bit more, again, it's just an influx. I think just a bit more solid structures in, goal threat as well. Again, you know, Reece Grant is a threat. They've brought in Sonny Fish. I think it's just, the more and more I see it in this division, if you've got somebody who can score goals, you're going to be okay. Because again, I think that was Dover's downfall. If they had somebody who could score 15 goals, and take the chance they've missed, they might not be in this position. So they just look to bring more threat. And he's got them well drilled, I think, as well. And I think it really worked out for Danny Blore. I think he's missed a few players. Players are injured. But he's just brought in a couple of quality loan players as well. It sort of lifted the place. Again, it helped that he won his first game. And Danny Blore was very popular. But Rod Stringer came in and he just carried on that run and sort of appealed to the fans to get behind him. And it's worked. Again, he's been a successful non-league manager. And I think he's a good fit for Welling United. So, please for Welling. People like Nigel, you know, when he's contacted me and he's been very down and gloom, you know, think I'm gloomy as well. But Nigel said when all they're going down. But, you know, they must be delighted. And for a Welling supporter, you would be thinking, yeah, we're looking forward to next season already, which is a good sign for them.
Absolutely. Maidstone have won 5-1 at Eastbourne on Saturday, and they've now got a 5-point cushion in the playoff spots after that draw on Monday. And at the foot of the table, Dartford Hope of staying up took a major dent with a 2-0 home defeat to Eastbourne Borough themselves on Monday, meaning the Sussex side leapfrogged the Darts and put Adrian Penix back into the bottom four, having also lost 4-1 at Chelmsford on Good Friday. Tunbridge Angels will finish in mid-table. They drew 0-0 at Hampton on Saturday, then lost 2-1 at home to Farnborough on Monday. Maidstone head to Taunton on Wednesday before a trip to Farnborough on Saturday when Tunbridge Angels are at Bath. Dartford head to second bottom, haven't all to Louisville. I'm putting that one as a must win. Dover go to Hemel Hempstead and Welling host Torquay. On a Tuesday night, the Darts at home to Worthing. Maidstone take on Weymouth with Welling at Havant on Wednesday next week. And just in case you're interested in fixture pile-ups, Truro City play on Saturday, Monday, Wednesday and Thursday next week, as well as this Thursday. That's 5 games in 8 days for the Cornish side, all of them miles away from home, and they're all home games. What a time to be alive, eh?
I'm worried about Dartford, John.
Me too.
I thought they'd have, again, as I mentioned to you, there's not much in that scene, but the back-to-back defeats over Easter, the fixture they've got to play. They've got to play Yeovil, Worthing. They've got to go to Avon and win. I don't know. Again, there's a lot on social media blaming the board and everything at Dartford. Dover going down is not a shock. Dartford going down, biggest club to be relegated in the South for many years if this goes, and truly astonishing. I don't know. Well, they've arguably got to win. They've got to get 10 points out of the next 4 games, John. And I think they've lost 13 out of the last 16 games.
It's not good enough, is it?
From a Dartford perspective, no. And I said last week, since they've moved to that ground, they've always had, you know, that even the season they were in the National League, they went down, they had a bit of plaudits from it. But this is an absolute disaster. And it could be, you know, next season, if they get relegated, they'll be one of the big fishes expect to go straight back up. And it could be a reworking.
You look at Dulwich, they found it hard to do that. And Dulwich, yeah, you would think, would be in the same boat.
Yeah. So, we like Adi Penick. If Adi Penick is the manager that brings them down, where does it stand for him being the next manager next season? It will be interesting. But all the Dartford people I speak to, they said that when they sacked Alan Dowson, it took them 7 weeks to get an ex-manager. So you can see the reasons why the supporters aren't happy. But looking at their fixtures, John, and I'm going to play Truro last game of the season. And Truro could be absolutely knackered by then. But the next 3 games is going to be tough. I would have thought. You don't know what you're going to get. Worthing, seem to have bounced back a bit now. They should be in the playoffs. So, yeah, an absolute disaster for Dartford if they go down. I don't know how you can say it any other way, really.
No, absolutely not. In the National League, a pair of 1-1 draws for Ipswich United mean they're 3 points outside the drop zone. They came from behind both times at home to Southend and then at Dagenham and Redbridge. Bromley, meanwhile, won 2-0 at Dorking on Friday and drew 1-1 at home to Woking on Monday. I'm sure Ipswich really could have done without Kidderminster winning 3-1 at Chesterfield this afternoon. The champions perhaps on the beach a little early. Ipswich at home to Fylde on Saturday and then go to Solihull on Tuesday, while Bromley face Solihull themselves in the FA Trophy semi-final on Saturday before a trip to face Barnet on Tuesday night.
I was looking about that, John. I think it will be tough on Ipswich if they go down on probably 50 points is going to be the target. I think they're going to be okay, you think?
Well, it's just insane, isn't it? The thing is, what works in their favour is the amount of teams that are around them. And obviously, you're looking at it now, Dorking Wanderers are like there in a bit of strife. And I was having to explain to people in the office why it's absolutely marvellous to see Boreham Wood getting a spanking today and looking like they're on their way down as well. And you just kind of wonder if... Is it just one place up for grabs now with those two teams having a bit of a blip? Obviously, York haven't been in great form. My head's telling me Ipswich are safe, but then you look at the numbers involved and you think they just need a couple of results from somewhere. But I'm confident that they'll get them.
Absolutely, Harris, Bournemouth, all that money from Arsenal. It does look like an ageing team, but how many times they've been, again, a bit like Dartford, perennial playoffs in this division, and it's all gone wrong for them. So, but those 2 points over Easter, which I think were 2 decent points for Ipswich, does give them a bit of leeway. And again, I think they've got enough to get out of it. And I think season well done and build for next season, which I believe will be a season that a lot of teams, a bit like this year, apart from we thought would be up and around the top of it. So it could be an interesting season next year if they work themselves right. So, yeah, brilliant. Well, if it couldn't be Woking, Bournemouth would probably be on the next on the list.
Absolutely. In the Eastern Premier Division, Margate edged another point closer to relegation rivals Chesham with a 1-1 draw against Cray Wanderers on Monday. Haven't seen their weekend game at Potters Bar called off. It's 5 games to go, 6 points to overhaul. Well, 7 when you factor in the goal difference. It's still a big ask So as I said earlier on, stranger things have happened than something like that happening towards the back end of the season. Okay, Wanderers also drew 2-2 with Chatham on Friday, and Folkestone beat Lewis 3-1. Before on Monday, the Chats beat Kingstonian 4-1, and Invicta lost out 2-1 at Hastings. Cray at home to Matt's new favourite team, hashtag United, on Friday night. Before on Saturday, Margate head to Kingstonian, where a win would not only help Gate massively, but would send down their hosts, while Chatham head to Champions Elect Hornchurch, and Folkestone host Horsham, before Cray Wanderers also go to Hornchurch on Tuesday night. In the Eastman League South East, another potentially big day. Cray Wanderers now 3 points clear at the top after they beat Sevenoaks 2-1 on Monday, while Ramsgate had to come from 2-0 down to grab a point against third-place Sittingbourne. Both sides have won their first games of the weekend. The Rams at Littlehampton on Friday, and the Millers had to come from behind to win at Broadwich Heath. But all the Ramsgate fans, Matt, they're saying they were outplayed for 25 minutes today. They fought back, they battled, they played really well, they got a point. And with Cray Valley still to go to Southwood, it's still in Ramsgate's hands. That game, a week on Saturday, is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exciting. Glenn Cray, again, fair play to them. When they lost 5-4, when they conceded two goals in injury time, they've absolutely bounced back by winning 6 on the spin. It's still in Ramsgate. You know, that point against Sittingbourne, when you're 2-0 down, could be absolutely crucial if they can beat Cray in that big game. And it's coming more and more into it.
It's great because it's in both teams' hands, and that's what makes that game next week so good.
Yeah, Ramsgate playing midweek as well next week.
They play East Grinstead midweek on Tuesday. So, yeah, they could be level in points and top of the table because they will maybe be top of the table going into that game. But I think both teams will know that it's that's the game, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's arguably the biggest game in the county all season when it comes down to this, how exciting it is from there. I know Ramsgate have got some... I think they've got to play Chichester and Three Bridges as well, who are in the playoff places. So they've got to play, you know, in the whole of the month, they've got to play all the top five around them. So if they're going to do it, but again, that could be such an important point. But fair play to Cray, you just keep winning. Unbelievable away form. They run every single game. I was speaking to somebody, it would be quite ironic if they find, you know, the away game that they don't want to lose, they lose after winning all the other ones. So, but I think, it's coming down to that point, that game. And I'm sure there's going to be a massive, there's 1,400 today, I think, at Ramsgate. So massive crowd there. Hopefully I'll be at that game as well. So if I can, for the radio, that would be a really exciting game. Massive game, same amount of goal difference. I presume it will come down to goals scored. It could do, John, couldn't it?
Really could do, yeah. It's amazing. It's brilliant. And we're looking forward to seeing how it all pans out. Okay. At the other end of the table, it's looking pretty bleak for Beckenham after a pair of defeats this weekend, leaving them 10 points from safety with 5 games to play. Those results in full, 2-1 for the Rams at Littlehampton on Friday, where Asher won by the same score against Sevenoaks. Sittingbourne beat Horndean 3-0. On Saturday, Cray Valley won 3-2 at Broadwich Heath. Irvington Belvedere drew 2-2 at Burgess Hill. Pambay beat Eastminster 3-2. Hyde went down 1-0 to Merston. Finch Sports beat Sheffield 3-1. Beckenham lost out 3-2 to Three Bridges. Ashford beat Herne Bay 3-1 on Monday. Phoenix moved up to 16th after their 2-1 win at Beckenham. Irvington Belvedere drew 1-1 at East Grinstead. Sheffield beat Hythe 3-0. And it's broken this evening that after that defeat, Hythe manager Steve Watt has announced he will be leaving the club at the end of the season. Their playoff hopes are pretty much over. And I guess Steve Watt, he almost didn't take the job again this season. And I guess he's decided that now he maybe has taken Hythe as far as he can.
Yeah, I think games have... The pitchers didn't help them. The excellent run in the trophy. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people looking at Steve Watt to see where he goes from here. I think he's done a really good job at Hythe. Clearly overachieved last season. Just think, the cut runs and the pitch issues have really affected them. And I think the games have caught up with them a little bit now. But I think he can be very delighted with where he is. I hope he stays in the game because... I think he's a really good manager who's really organised the Hythe side. And I know there's not much money at Hythe. I think if he can go to a club that can give him a bit of a budget, because I think he knows his players, he can be successful. So with that being the Isthmian League or wherever. So we'll look to see where he goes. But Hythe, again, always sort of one step forward, two steps back, isn't it, really? They need a bit of a stability, but... He's done a really good job there, Steve. Well, and, I'm sure, yeah. Seeing it, the Hythe supporters are absolutely gutted he's going to go.
Absolutely. Sheppey United travel to Horndean on Thursday, then Saturday it's Beckenham against Hyde. Everton Belvedere head to Chichester, Herne Bay at Littlehampton, Seven Oaks go to Merston, Sheppey against Ashford, Three Bridges against Sittingbourne. I left the top two till last. Quay Valley host Burgess Hill, Ramsgate travel to Phoenix. The Rams then try for the umpteenth time to play East Grinstead on Tuesday, and it's the same for Sittingbourne as they again head to Littlehampton, while Beckenham host Sheppey, Phoenix Sports go to Horndean, and Hyde head to Three Bridges. That's it, isn't it? We've covered them all.
We've done them all now, mate. Yeah. Ooh. Big week. Who's your big winner over the weekend for all our Kent sides?
Oh, good question. I suppose you could look at it and say, well, Deal Town, obviously. Welling United, I think. 4 points. If you'd offered that to anyone at the start of the weekend, anyone associated with Welling, you'd said 4 points from those two games. They'd have taken it. They've opened up a gap now. And what looked like, you know, it looked like for a time they were going to be dead and buried. And now it looks like they're pretty much home and hosed. What about yourself? Who do you think has had the best weekend?
I think in Cray Valley, I think just the way they've bounced back from that defeat against Three Bridges by 5-4, I think Steve McKim shows what he's a good manager. I think it's a good weekend for Ebbsfleet as well. Two good points there. Southend, I'm flying. Dagenham as well. Last minute goal shows a real bit of character under Danny Searle. So I think.
I'm going to give a shout out to Phoenix Sports, who've obviously found it hard going on their return to the Eastern League this season, but two wins over the weekend. Beat Sheffield at home on Saturday, followed it up with that crucial victory at Beckenham, who are below them, up to 16th in the table. You know, I think actually staying in this division is a really good achievement for them.
Yeah. If they hadn't won that, they'd have been overlooking over their shoulders. So two really big wins there. And unfortunately, John, the biggest loser, Dartford. I think they've got problems now. I thought they would get out of it somehow, but clearly it hasn't worked. And that is a major shock.
Well, in shocking scenes, I've actually gotten to the platform a full 6 minutes before my train is due. So do you have anything you would like to fill up one of those 6 minutes with?
Well, I will say, again, we've been pretty critical of the Kent Senior Cup here.
And again, yes. Here we go.
And what, again, why Kent Senior Cup should be a major competition that Kent FA are doing. Kent FA do a great job in many, many things. But if this doesn't put a death knell in the Kent Senior Cup and why teams are bothering to play in it, Ebbsfleet's game against Halifax, we know, was called off last weekend. One of those things. National League got to fit fixtures in because the league finishes in a couple of weeks. Yeah, I understand that. So they're playing Halifax on the Tuesday. But for some reason, they've been told to play the Kent Senior Cup on the Wednesday. And this is just ridiculous. The Kent Senior Cup before has been at the end of the season. I'm sure Ebbsfleet will be quite happy to play at the end of the season. Maidstone again, they're in the competition. If they don't play it now, play it as a pre-season game in August. But do not make it see that Ebbsfleet have to play twice in 2 days in a competition that you get, you know, Dover have played ineligible players for and got chucked out for. So make it a competition that, you know, it just seems ridiculous. The Kent FA are telling Ebbsfleet to play one day after they played a game. Surely there must be other weeks as well they can actually play this game.
It doesn't do the competition any favours, does it? I mean, it, like you say, it should be, from a Kent football point of view, you know, a county that only has one football league team, has only ever had one other football league team, that final should be a showpiece. And it always has been. You know, the Kent Senior Trophy is a great showpiece. You know, at the Gallagher Stadium and always on that Sunday in April and getting people behind to the game. I've been lucky enough to go to a few Kent Senior Trophy finals. And they're always big affairs. And now we're looking, what was it, 2 years ago, the Kent Senior Cup final was played when half of Folkestone's team was on holiday. And now we've got this farce, which
Where are they playing the final anyway? They're not playing in Gillingham again, eh?
I don't even think it's been announced yet. I think they said the venue was to be confirmed. You know, but Ebbsfleet United, and you know, I don't think anyone would deny this, but staying in the National League is a lot more important to Ebbsfleet United than winning the Kent Senior Cup. And I suppose the problem with the playing at the end of the season, obviously Maidstone are in the playoffs, so that's going to cause an extra delay. But you've got time late in May, haven't you? And you know,
what's the next week? You've probably got, you know, before the end, it must be a couple of weeks. Maidstone can't be playing midweek every game, are they, to the end of the season? Right.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't make, again, I think it's just a
an own goal by the FA. Again, does it matter if you played it as a pre-season game?
I've been told that it does matter, actually. So I did put this question to them before when the Folkestone-Dartford game was the final. It was played at Chatham. I don't remember I went, but Neil Cugley was very scathing when he said, you know, our players are all on holiday. This is not fair. What's gone on here? And I put that to the tennis player and they said it can't count as the competition for last season if I play it in pre-season for next.
Well, have a look at the competition and have a look at it. Nobody, you know, I remember back in the day, a long time ago, there was 2,500 when these teams met because it meant something, but it doesn't mean anything now. Just have a look at it. But you should be forcing Ebb Street to play two games in 2 days. And if I was Ebb Street, you've got to go to Halifax. So they're going to stay up in Halifax. So you're going to have to come all the way back from Halifax and then play that evening. It just seems ridiculous. Play the reserves, Ebb Street, and show the contempt this competition's got, which is great competition. It's just a real joke now. It's just forced to play. And Ebb Street tried to get work around it like a good club does, but told not to do it. So it seems ridiculous.
Yes, absolutely. I enjoyed the new series of Taskmaster, by the way, which started on Thursday last week. It was good. I read some mixed reviews a bit online, but I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was better than the last series. So hopefully that will continue.
I haven't really been watching too much again, John, to be honest. We're on to the Gone, New Zealand Irish.
Oh, yeah. My mum's watched that, yeah.
So we're on that. But apart from that, we need to find some stuff. So, but yeah, I think it's that. Now the clocks have sprung forward and get light, nice evenings. You don't want to stay and watch your telly at 7 o'clock. You want to be doing stuff. So we'll have to see what happens from there.
Absolutely. Well, I've got a few days off this week, so I'm jetting off. I don't actually have a clue when I'm going to edit this and get this out into the world, but it's recorded. That's the most important thing. I can worry about the rest of it later today. You got some time off at the end of the week. Are you doing anything exciting?
We're going to David Castle on Thursday. My daughter wants to go to that. And depends what the weather's like. We might have a trip out somewhere on Friday. So, yeah, nice to get some time with the family. So looking forward to that as well.
See, that's what the Easter holidays are all about. Well, thank you everybody for listening to the Fruit Show. Hope it's been okay, despite me now actually being on the train and trying to talk quietly because I hate it when people talk.
Many people on there?
No, it's really quiet. Anyone thinks of bank holiday? But you can find us on Twitter at Kent NL Podcast. You can find us on Facebook, search for Kent Non-League Podcast. I'm at John Pips 81. Matt is at Matthew underscore Gerard. We're also on Threads and Instagram at Kent Non-League Podcast. And there is the group on Facebook, Kent Non-League Football Chat. You know what? I'm going to challenge everybody. If you enjoy the show, please leave us a review. We had one by the Apple Podcast app the other week, and it was very, very nice. I sent it to Matt. We both are really chuffed by it. But if we get reviews, especially 5-star ones, it helps us appear more visible somewhere. And
might get us a Wikipedia page.
Absolutely. And even after 291 episodes of this, there are still people in Kent football who don't know about us. So, you know, if you've got someone who's into Kent Non-League football and they don't listen to this show, then, you know, give them a nudge, tell them to give us a go and we'll try to entertain them. We bring you 2, 3, 4 non interviews every week and hopefully people learn something about the game in our wonderful county. So, you know, if you do know someone who doesn't listen to the show, tell them to listen. Make that your aim for this week. As I say, thank you everybody for listening to this week's show. Thanks to our guests for their time. Massive good luck to everybody this weekend, especially Bromley in the FA Trophy. We didn't really talk about that during the show, but we shall hopefully have a booking their spot at Wembley once again. And yeah, thank you everybody for listening. Thanks to Matt for staying up way past his bedtime on a school night. And we will speak to you all next week on the Kent Non-League Podcast.
I would second that. Please spread the word about the non-league podcast. Give me tea things. It's been a late night. Yeah, you know, 291 episodes. If that does not deserve a review, doesn't really deserve a Wikipedia page, but definitely deserves a review. So please, that'd be absolutely great. Even if you don't like it, just give us a review. It always sounds good.